So earlier tonight, we had a service at 5:30 that was about a third children. Now, I know it's a challenge to keep children's attention, but it's also a challenge to keep adults' attention after dinner. So I may use some of the same, much of the same that I used this morning, or the earlier today, it seems like morning, just a few hours ago. The children all acknowledged that they were very excited because tonight represents the eve of Christmas Day. And they're all excited for many reasons, but part of the reason that they're excited is that a part of our Christmas tradition, both Christian and in our culture, is the giving and receiving of gifts. So the children were jazzed. And we talked about what the greatest gift is, the gift that's the focus of all of our Christmas worship. I asked the children that, and one of them quickly yelled out, Jesus, that's right. The kids know that most of the answers in church are Jesus. So they got that one right away. God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, sent to save us, to save his people from their sins. And we read in Scripture that he was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God's gift to save his people. We acknowledged with the children, I did a little call and response, I'll spare you that, that Jesus didn't just arrive on earth, but that he was born. He was born a baby. He had a mother, Mary. And we know that Mary became pregnant with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit because God told her that. Now, I will ask you this. How did God tell Mary? Who did he send? He sent an angel. That's right. An angel appeared to Mary, and Mary wasn't much excited about the angel being there, but that she was terrified as this angel appears and tells her that she will give birth to God's Son, the Messiah. We just read from the Gospel of Luke, which announced Jesus' birth to a bunch of shepherds on a hillside. And in that reading, who appeared to the shepherds to tell them that Jesus had been born? An angel. And we read it was one angel, and yet the glory of the Lord shone around them, incredibly bright. And they were afraid. Then a multitude of angels. So one angel is enough to fill the sky. Then you get a multitude, millions of them. I imagine it was a little bright, more terrifying. Like the stars, I was trying to picture that. Are they these big men hanging in the sky, or big men and women? But I imagine there were so many of them. It was like if you've ever been in Colorado, where there isn't a whole lot of light pollution, when you can see all of the stars, imagine that times a billion, bright, millions of them across the sky. And all those angels were singing. They were praising the Lord for the birth of the Messiah. Now, usually, when we talk about angels in church, we're talking about how people responded to the angels or how they felt or how that impacted the people. But tonight, we're going to focus in on the angels, what they were feeling, what they were experiencing as they got to announce the birth of the Messiah. Tonight's message is called Dancing with the Stars. We had a lot of fun as the kids, and I think this is going to be good for all of you too. We're going to talk about how the angels were feeling when they announced the Savior's birth. And I want you to understand tonight how excited the angels were. Now, how have you think about something that you had to wait a long time for? Have you ever had to wait a long time for something, anticipating it? When I asked the kids, you know, they said, well, we've had to wait for Christmas. Yeah, you had to wait a long time for that, a whole 365 days. Or their birthday, but I told them the story when my wife and I were first married 28 years ago, we wanted to have kids right away. And yet, it took 5 years before we conceived our first child, Dan. And those 5 years were excruciating. It seemed like an eternity to wait. I know you all have things in your life where maybe you've had to wait, or maybe you are waiting. Waiting's no fun. When we got the news that she was pregnant, our reaction was a little like Jacksonville's reaction when the Jaguars finally score a touchdown. We were surprised. We were elated. There was jumping. There was celebrating. There was surprise, just like we have in Jacksonville. I suggest to you that the angels had waited for so long for God to send the Savior that when Jesus was finally born, they were that excited, that they were jumping up and down, that they were dancing. Maybe chest bumping like the football players do, but they were excited. And we know they had to wait a really long time because scriptures tell us that the angels were present at the beginning. When God created the heavens and the earth, we read in Genesis that the angels were there. So going back to the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates all of the animals, all of the fish, all of everything, all of the plants, all of the insects, and he creates man and woman. Now, this is a little bit of an obvious question. The kids got to answer it. Did man and woman obey God's instructions for living? No, they chose their way over God's way. And they brought sin into the world. And in doing that, in eating from the tree that God told them not to eat from, they lost the one thing that they were created for. And that was their unbroken relationship with God. They were created for relationship with God. We are created for relationship with God. And when they sinned, that relationship was broken. And that was the beginning of the big problem. And it was then that God developed a plan to rescue us. So God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. Who did God send to guard the garden after Adam and Eve left? An angel. That's right. When you read Genesis 3:24, God sent cherubim, which are great big creatures with big wings. Sounds like an angel, right? The angels were present at the beginning of the big problem. They were present there. They were there from the beginning, and they've been waiting since then. So, keeping our focus on the angels, they also knew how bad the sin problem got and how God had to start over. Mankind continued to go down the wrong path, so God did the great do-over or the great reboot when he had Noah build the ark and then he flooded the earth. Sometimes, I know, we all want a do-over in our life. He restarted everything. And the angels knew that Noah and his descendants didn't do any better obeying God's instructions for life. He really gave them one instruction. Go and fill the earth. Multiply and fill the earth. And what'd they do? They stayed in one place and they built a big tower. They didn't obey. The angels were with the Lord when he chose Abram to be the father of his people. And when God promised that Abram would be a blessing to all nations. And the angels knew what that blessing would be. And so they waited. The angels watched as God's chosen people kept doing what people have always done, choosing their own ways rather than choosing God's ways. Everyone sinned. No one could live the way God wanted without sinning, without disobedience. That's our problem in this broken world. So for centuries upon centuries, the angels waited for God to complete his plan. Through Abraham to bring redemption, to bring salvation to the world. They waited and they waited and they waited. The angels were with God when he spoke to and through the prophets, announcing that judgment would happen. And announcing that God's plans would triumph, including his plan to send his son, the Savior, the Messiah, who would rescue his people. God spoke through Isaiah. We read a portion of Isaiah this evening, two chapters earlier in Isaiah chapter 7. God spoke through Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is hundreds of years before Jesus was born. There's the prophecy. The angels knew that. So the angels continued to wait and wait and wait. There was a couple hundred years called the intertestamental period when the prophets went silent. And this is what God's people heard from God. Silence. God stopped speaking to his people during that time. God was not with his people. And that's why they were longing for the Messiah to come, because they wanted to hear from God. They were without God. And the angels continued to wait. Then finally, one of the angels was sent to visit Zechariah, a Jewish priest. And the angel told him that he and his wife would have a child in their old age. Now, I'm not going to suggest who of you might represent that age, but they were pretty old. And God promised, you are now going to have a child, and your child will prepare the way for the Messiah. Their child would be John the Baptist. Now the angels are getting excited. They're seeing the final stages. And after all this waiting, you can feel the excitement. Kind of like when you start to see Blake Bortles complete a couple passes. You get excited. Maybe something's going to happen. For those of you that aren't football fans, I apologize. Next, an angel appears to Mary, telling her she will give birth to the Savior, who will be God's son. And can you picture now the angels more and more excited? This is happening. God's son will be born. 9 months, they know, they can see the end of their waiting. And now the time of the Savior's birth has arrived. We read that portion of scripture tonight, when the one angel appears to the shepherds, and the rest of them are just behind the curtain. You think there was a little excitement there as they're getting ready to sing, as they're getting ready to celebrate? So we read from Luke chapter 2, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Remember, that's the one angel. They were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day, now, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And then it was time. And the millions of the heavenly host appear in the sky, and they fill it. And you think they were standing still like a choir? Glory to God in the highest. No, they were excited. And I believe they were dancing with joy the way the stadium explodes when the Jaguars finally score. You've seen it, whether on TV, everybody dances in one way or another. They're jumping, they're moving, they're dancing. I imagine some of you adults, when the right song comes on, you all have a happy dance. I know you do. Your kids know what the songs are, more than likely if you have children, but we all move when we're that excited. We can't stand still. The kids and young adults have a video game that when they win, they're able to make their characters dance. They can do the floss, which I can't do. I'm not able to move that way, and my kids don't like me to do that in public. Sorry. I guarantee that the angels were going crazy as they were dancing and jumping and rejoicing at the birth of the Savior, and it was the great dance party in the sky. That's the image I want you to have. God's rescue plan was finally complete, which means two very important things for you and for me. First, because of the incarnation, you are not alone. You do not have to ever be alone. We talked about that period when God was silent. Well, at the birth of the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, you never have to be alone again because God is always with you through faith in Jesus. And there's the rub. Without faith, God is not with you. And that can be very lonely. First promise is you are not alone ever in Jesus Christ. Second, because of the incarnation, God with us, his presence, God's peace, and God's joy can always be with you. They are always with you because the incarnation transcends everything. Now, some of you, I know, are dealing with serious things in your lives. Maybe illness of a family member, pain or struggle or sickness or hardship. Tonight, some of you want to be joyful, but it seems out of reach. It seems too far away. And that's where the reminder that God, through faith in Jesus Christ, is with you and you are not alone. In joy, in sorrow, in pain and trouble, and in persecution, there is always God's peace and God's joy through the incarnation. I want you to think of the shepherds. They weren't all in a really good mood on that hillside. I imagine they were cold. Some probably were angry or upset. Perhaps Judah had a fight at home with his wife and then had to go to work. Maybe Caleb called off, so Melek had to work a double shift. He was hacked off. Zeke's child was sick. Jotham was depressed. You get the picture. They weren't necessarily in a good headspace when suddenly the sky explodes. Now they're afraid. But yet, wherever they were, together they rejoiced at the Savior's birth. Let's go now and see this thing that has happened. Because the Messiah is here. God is with us. No matter what you're experiencing, God is with you. At some level, we all long for things to be made right. In my language, can I just have a break, God? We long for cars to work the way they're supposed to, or washing machines, or whatever it is that's breaking down. We long for relationships to be fixed. No more sickness, no more pain. That was what God's people expected from the Messiah, that he'd make everything all right. And he did when he arrived, and yet the job isn't complete until he comes back again. So he is with us. We have his peace, his joy, and his presence now, and we still wait for the final chapter to be completed as we wait for him to return. The Savior will return. But tonight we celebrate with the angels the good news of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. As they proclaim glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women on whom God's favor rests. Tonight, as we worship, we get to join in the dance party with the angels. Now, this was a lot easier to do when you have excited kids that have sugar in their systems and they're jazzed. Getting them to get up and move, it's much easier than I'm looking at you. But we're going to do it anyway. Because that's what the angels did. That's what tonight is all about. The rejoicing in whatever we're experiencing in life, that God is with us, that his Savior is born, that the rescue is complete. So there's a song, and I'm going to have Clint play it, because I tried to play it for the kids with my guitar, and at this point in the night, I'm where you are. I had dinner. But the chorus is the Gloria. We're not going to turn off the lights. We turn off the lights, and for the kids, I brought this massive disco ball. Isn't that large? It was really fun with the kids, but I'm just not seeing the guys in the back. It looked a lot bigger on Amazon. All right, I can tell the teenagers in the back want to see, does this thing even work? I think we are going to turn the lights off. But the chorus of this song is Gloria. Gloria. Hosanna in the highest. It's really hard. I know you can't learn that because it's like four words. But I'm going to ask you to get up because this song has a beat. The lights are going to go off. So if you move, you can move. You can worship just with your hands. If you don't want to stand, you don't have to. But this is our chance to move a little bit and worship the Lord and praise the newborn King. And we're going to turn on this light. Get ready. That's it. The kids were much more impressed than you are. Is it working back there? There it is.
The sky is written with angels singing. Whoa, 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 yeah. Hosanna in excelsis.
Ding dong.
In so here below the low, as steeple bells be swung, and the yo, 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 by priests and people singing.
Whoa, 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 yeah. Hosanna in excelsis.
Ding dong. Ding-dong, merrily and high, the curse of sin is broken. Ding-dong, open up your eyes, the celebration starts in glory. Hosanna in excelsis, sing! Glory. Hosanna in excelsis, yeah!
Ding-dong.
So I didn't turn around. I didn't see what anybody else was doing. Nobody else could see. It was like a junior high dance. Everybody's doing their own thing. But that's the point of tonight, that we will realize the celebration that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God's Savior, is born. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.